Take your Bible, please, and open to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. If you are first-time guests, this is the third sermon in a series of seven messages on God's design for families. And our text today comes in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22, 23, 24, and 33. The message today, unconditional respect, God's design for wives. Unconditional respect, God's design for wives. Dr. Albert Einstein's wife was asked this question, "Do you understand the theory of relativity?" She responded, "No, I do not, but I do understand Dr. Einstein." Wives, you may not understand your husband's career, his work, his business, but it is your business to understand your husband. And God has given us a clear word in Holy Scripture to guide us in the marriage relationship. In Ephesians chapter 5, we find this clear word. Begin now and follow along as I begin reading with verse 22. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now skip down to verse 33. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. In verse 33, we find two key words for the marriage relationship. Those words are love and respect. Last Sunday morning, we talked about the husband's responsibility to give unconditional love to his wife. That's so because a wife has one overarching need. Every wife needs to feel loved by her husband. And when her need to feel love from her husband is being met, then she is a happy, fulfilled wife. On the other hand, a husband's need is different. If a wife's need is unconditional love, a husband's need is unconditional respect. His one overarching need is to be respected by his wife. And when that need is met, then he is a happy, satisfied husband. Now, wives, the message today is particularly for you. And for all of you in this room who will be wives someday. And the message that God has for wives revolves around this one word found in verse 33. Look again in that last phrase in verse 33. And the wife must respect her husband. Now, have you ever wondered why God commands the wife to respect her husband? It's because God knows how he has hardwired the human race. God knows that women and wives are hardwired or created differently than men or husbands. The husband has been designed by God so that his greatest need that can be met by his wife is that she respect him. He'd rather be respected by his wife than be loved by his wife. In fact, if one survey done recently of men, 76 out of every 100 men surveyed said they had rather feel unloved than unrespected on the part of their wives. Because you see, when a husband feels unrespected, he feels like he does not have his wife's respect, then he does not feel like he has her love. Now, having said that, how can a husband know, or how can a wife know, I should say, if her husband does not feel like she respects him? Now listen carefully, wives. You will know if your husband feels like you don't respect him if there is anger in his life. Now, anger can manifest itself both verbally and non-verbally. In the hearts and lives of some husbands, when he's angry, he's going to lose his temper. He's going to say things that he shouldn't say, things that dishonor the name of the Lord. But it erupts. It comes out, and you'll know in that way. But other husbands are going to express their anger by not expressing their anger. They're going to go on the silent mode. They're going to hit the mute button. They're going to just withdraw into themselves because of the anger that seethes within their hearts. And so check for his anger. If he's angry with you, it's because he does not feel like you respect him. Wives, your husbands need to receive from you your respect, your unconditional respect. This is God's design. This is the way God has created the husband-wife relationship. And so this morning, I want to briefly just give a little exposition and quite a bit of application in this text this morning. But I want us to look at application in seven different dimensions, seven different ways that you as a wife can show respect to your husband. Number one, a wife shows respect to her husband by following his leadership. Wives, God has made you to follow the leadership of your husband, and God has made your husband to be the leader in your marriage and family. This is spelled out quite clearly for us in chapter 5, verses 22, 23, and 24. Look back again in verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Why? Why should a wife submit? Why should a wife yield her rights, her desires, her decisions to that of her husband? Because verse 23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church." Verse 24, "And so as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." It is the wife's God-given responsibility to submit to the headship, the leadership of the husband to whom she is married. Now, look again in the latter part of verse 24. "Wives, submit to your husbands in everything." Now, obviously, that is not to be taken out of context. We know, for instance, in Acts chapter 5, that when the apostles were commanded by the Sanhedrin to forbid to proclaim the gospel there in Jerusalem, they said, we must obey God rather than men. There is an authority, wives, which is greater than the authority of the headship of your husband. That is the authority of God. And so when it says in Ephesians 5:22 that the wives are to submit to their husbands in everything, it is certainly not to be construed to mean that if a husband asks you to sin, if he asks you to disobey God, if he asks you to violate clear biblical commands and scriptures. But rare is the husband who asks that of his wife. But we are to, as wives, are to be in submission to the headship, to the leadership of their husband. Now, I know full well that this teaching, this statement, these verses 22, 23, and 24 that are found here in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, I know that this is not politically correct today. But you need to know it is biblically and theologically correct. And our ultimate responsibility is to come under the authority of the Word of God and under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So, wives, there it is. Your husband is your leader. He's the head of the home. You say, well, why should I submit to his leadership? I'm smarter than he is. I made dean's list in school, and he barely graduated. Why should I submit to him? I'm superior to him in a number of ways. Or at least you might be thinking, why should I submit to him? I'm at least his equal. After all, aren't all Americans equal? Isn't that in our Declaration of Independence? Didn't Thomas Jefferson write, all men are created equal? They're endowed by their Creator. Didn't the Declaration say that we're all equal? Well, it may be in the Declaration of Independence, but we're not all equal. Can you play golf as well as Tiger Woods? Can you? Can you swim as well as Phelps, who won 8 gold medals over the last few days? I'm telling you, I could be in a pool 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the next 3 decades, and I'd never be able to swim like our gold medalist, Phelps. We're not all equal in many, many dimensions. It's not a matter, wives, of superiority or inferiority. It's not a matter of equality. It's a matter of God's design. The fact of the matter is, I think you ladies will agree with me that women are infinitely superior to men. Can I get an amen? Women are infinitely superior to men at being women. And men are infinitely superior to women at being men. And the rub comes in, we get the two confused. Now, God is the author and the designer of marriage. And God says here, wives, submit to your husband. This is God's design. Male headship is God's plan. Dare I say it? I must say it in order to be faithful to the text of Scripture. An unsubmissive wife is in rebellion against God. Shall I say it again in case you missed it? An unsubmissive wife is in rebellion not only against her husband, but against God. And if she continues this way, she will, by degrees and by the passing of time, she will take his sense of respect and she'll just take it down day after day after day. She'll just chip away at it until there's very little sense of respect that he has in his own life. So here's a question for every wife and every would-be wife. Who's in control in your marriage? Who wears the pants? Who calls the shot? Scripture says that Jesus is the head of every household, and he expresses his headship through the loving leadership of the husband. God has hardwired every husband that he needs the respect of his wife. And when you rebel against his headship and when you refuse to follow his leadership, then you diminish his sense of respect. Let me give you a second way in how a wife can demonstrate respect to her husband: by trusting his judgment. By trusting his judgment. Ladies, your husband desires that you not be continually questioning his knowledge, or that you continually argue with him about decisions that he makes. I want to tell you how it comes across to a husband. When a husband makes a decision and a wife questions his judgment, questions his decision, when a husband takes an action and she begins to pick it apart, it seems to your husband like you are treating him like one of the children. And when you treat him like one of the children, you make him feel like you think he is stupid. Now think about it. Now this is a silly little example, but I'm telling you, men and different are wired differently. You're on a trip. You're going somewhere you've never been. You make a wrong turn. What does the wife invariably want to do? Let's stop at the next gasoline station and ask directions. What does the husband want to do? No, I can find it. I have a map. I can find it. You say, that's a minor matter. I'm going to tell you, it may be a minor matter to you, but it's a major matter to many men. When you're saying, stop and ask directions, and he's saying, I can find it. Then you are questioning his judgment. Now, if you question his judgment about how to go from point A to point B, what he's thinking in the back of his mind, what are you thinking about his judgment about child rearing and about everything else you do? A wife demonstrates respect for her husband when she trusts his judgment in the small issues and in the major issues. Now, having said that, we husbands would be wise sometimes to humble ourselves and pull in and ask directions, okay? I just want you to know, husbands and wives look at an issue like that totally different, 180 degrees differently. So we show respect by trusting your husband's judgment. Number three, you show respect to your husband by affirming him in public. Now, it's wonderful to affirm him in private. And every wife should make it her ambition to affirm her man often in private. But words of affirmation spoken in front of his friends, his peers, his colleagues, in front of fellow church members, do a great deal to show him that you have respect for your husband. In fact, wives, if you'll brag about your husband in the presence of his friends, you're going to do yourself a really big favor. You say, well, Pastor, that sounds like, when you're talking like that, it sounds like a man has a pretty fragile ego. He does. You bet. The average man's ego is much more fragile than the average woman's ego. Be careful that you don't crush him by ridiculing him in public. When I was pastor in South Alabama before I became your pastor here, I got word that a man who had been chairman of the deacons had decided he was going to leave his wife of 25 years. So I made an appointment to visit with him, and we decided to meet in his office at night. We met till midnight. I appealed to him on the basis of the Word of God. I appealed to him as a brother in Christ. I appealed to him with every reason I could muster that it would be wrong and it would be a mistake for him to walk away from his marriage. But it was all to no avail. And here's the essence of what he told me about why he said he was going to leave his wife of 25 years and leave his two teenage sons. He did his hands like this. He did his thumb and his first finger about like this. He said, Pastor, for 25 years, and he called his wife's name, he said, for 25 years she made me feel about this tall in public. We go to school events, we go to church events, we'd be sitting in the bleachers at a basketball game, and she would ridicule me, she would put me down, she would embarrass me. And he said, I know it's wrong for me to walk away from this marriage relationship, but he said, Pastor, I'm going to walk away anyway. And I want to tell you, there was no justification for this man to walk away. There's grace to overcome that, but I want to tell you it also that it did explain some of the dynamics that was going on in his own thought life and some of the dynamics that some of you men in this very room are experiencing today. If you could have an honest heart-to-heart talk with your wife and tell her how you really feel, you'd say, I've had enough of being made to feel like I'm a child in a public place. Instead, praise him before others. Instead, ask his opinion in the presence of others. It's not a matter of his being prideful. It's a matter of his having a sense of adequacy and competence in the person whose opinion he values and treasures the most. One man said, and I quote, You know that saying, behind every good man is a great woman? Well, that is so true. If a man's wife is supportive and believes in him, he can conquer the world, or at least his little corner of it. He will do better at work, at home, everywhere. By contrast, very few men can do well at work or at home if their wives make them feel inadequate. Wives, you have a special calling from God to build your husband up, to make him feel adequate, to be his cheerleader, to let him know that you believe in him, that you have confidence in him, in his abilities, in what God has called him to be and to do. And when you affirm him in private, it goes a long way. And when you affirm him in public, it goes even farther. Make it your ambition to affirm him in public. A fourth way in which a wife can show respect to her husband is by refusing to nag. Now, some of these are similar to those I've said before, but I just want to focus it from a little bit different angle here when I say to you, by refusing to nag. Let me ask you this, wives. Do you like to be criticized? Well, no. Only people who are paranoid enjoy being criticized. So, of course, you don't like being criticized. Well, know this. Your constant reminders for him to repair the back gate or unstop some plumbing problem or carry out the garbage or mow the grass or do something that you want done, to you it just comes across as, I'm just helping him to remember. He remembers. You don't have to tell him. It's apparent that it's not as high a priority on his agenda as it is on yours. And when you remind him day after day after day of something that you wanted done that he hasn't yet done, it comes across to him like you are nagging him. Now, a man does not want to be married to a constant nag. The writer of Proverbs says, a woman who nags is like a constant drip, 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 drip of water. That'll drive you insane. Ladies, again, I say, do yourself a favor. Refuse to go there. It's like you're just nibbling away. Just nibble, nibble, nibbling away just a little piece at a time. Destroying his sense of worth and significance and respect. A fifth way a wife can show respect to her husband is by making an effort to be attractive. And here I want you to just give, I want to give you a cross-reference. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verses 3, 4, and 5. 1 Peter 3. Look in verses 3, 4, and 5. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For in this way, for this is the way holy women of the past put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands. So Peter gives instruction here about true beauty. And Peter says the focus should not be on the external. And I want to say that this is God's design. Having said that, your husband married you because he thought you were very beautiful. I want to tell you, no man anywhere would marry a girl that he thought was ugly. Everybody else on the planet may have seen her ugliness, but you didn't see it. You thought she was gorgeous. He thought you were beautiful. That's one of the reasons he married you. Having done so, while external beauty is not the primary focus of what the Scripture teaches, you can be sure, you can survey tens of thousands of husbands, and there might be a few exceptions, but not very many. They want the girl that they married to remain attractive. Now, how do you do that? Well, there's only so much you can do. Let's just face it. Age happens. But you can do some things through the passing of the years that will appeal to your husband. Why don't you ask him how he would like you to wear your hair? It may be that whatever the latest fashion is in style now may not be what he likes at all. You trying to have a hairdo that would please your friends and comes out of some fashion magazine or something your husband likes best? What about your dress? What about the colors that you choose? Ladies, do yourself a favor and seek to dress in such a way that your husband finds you increasingly attractive. Now, I know I'm about to skate on some very thin ice here, but I must do so. That means that you need to be careful about your weight. And if you're going to be careful about your weight, that means you're going to need to be careful about diet and exercise. If you eat a dozen Krispy Kremes every day and you never take a walk around the block, don't expect to keep your wedding day figure. Furthermore, our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We are to be careful about these things. A husband wants to have an attractive wife. Having said that, there is an inner beauty which far surpasses the outer beauty. Look again in verse 4, 1 Peter 3:4. Instead, it should be that of the inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Now, you could be drop-dead gorgeous, but if you have a defiant spirit, a loud spirit, if you constantly interrupt your husband when he's talking, if you try to finish his sentences for him, if you try to tell him how to run his life, I'm going to tell you, you may be outwardly a model, beautiful model type person, but in your husband's heart, you're not very pretty. He wants you to be attractive. There's both the external dimension and the internal dimension. Number 6, the sixth way in which a wife can express respect for her husband is by desiring sexual intimacy. By desiring sexual intimacy. And here I want you to find 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 3, 4, and 5. I'm just going to touch on this lightly because I'm going to preach a week from tonight on red-hot monogamy, God's design for sex. But I just want to touch on it this morning. If you want to respect your husband, you show respect. He knows you respect him when you desire sexual intimacy with him. Look in verse 3, 1 Corinthians 7:3. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife. Marital duty, that means sexual relations in the marriage. And likewise, the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now, ladies, God has given to both male and female a sexual drive. In the typical male, the sexual drive is more intense and more focused than it is in the typical female. Now, some of you are in marriages where your wife has a greater sex drive than you as a husband have. You're the exception, not the rule. The fact of the matter is, all of us have this sexual drive. It's part of God's plan. If we didn't have a sexual drive, we wouldn't experience sexual intimacy, and the human race would die out in one generation, because you have to express this sexual intimacy to reproduce and to procreate the human race. It's all a part of God's plan. Sex is not evil. It's not dirty. Sex is holy. It's in the context of the marriage bond. God's plan for sex is fidelity within marriage and chastity before marriage. Doesn't get any simpler than that. But having said that, a husband has a need for his wife to desire him physically, to desire to be with him. Some years ago, someone wrote, Dear Abby, and this is what she said. Dear Abby, at age 50, after 30 years of marriage, I would like to forget about sex altogether. Believe me, I paid my dues. I suspect that many, if not most, women get very little physical satisfaction out of sex. They just go through the motions because they want to do something for the men they love. Please poll your readers, and if they are honest, I think you'll find that I'm right. Well, she did poll her readers. And the votes were 250,000 women had written in agreeing with Tired in Nebraska. They'd be more than willing to give up sex in return for some affection. Syndicated columnist Jim Sanderson wrote a response to that. And this is what he said. To date, nearly 250,000 women have written in, and more than 50% agreed with Tired in Nebraska. Absolutely astounding. Totally depressing. You thought it was the sexual revolution that was raising the divorce rate. It's the unsexual revolution. Can you imagine 30 years with a woman who was only going through the motions? How about 20 years? How about 10 years? If Tired still loves her husband after 30 years, he's not an animal. He is a human being who has responded to his wife's needs in many ways. And then Sanderson goes on to pen these words. You cannot believe the frustration and ultimately the anger a man feels in trying to excite and express his love to a woman who, month after month, year after year, is only paying her dues. Quite often, her passive resistance finally defeats him. She forgets the joy and strength he once knew. She emasculates him. How sad. And how tragically common in so many marriages. It's not enough just to accommodate him. If you want your man to feel like you respect him, he needs you to desire him. He needs you from time to time to initiate the sexual encounter, because when you do that, you are saying to him in words that you could never ever say, I do respect you because I want you. Now, wives, hear me. If you won't give him sexual intimacy, and if you don't desire him sexually, there are plenty of wicked women in this community who'll be more than glad to accommodate your husband if you won't accommodate him. They're out there. They're predators. They're women without morals. They'll be happy to bed your husband down if you won't seek to gratify and meet his needs for sexual intimacy. That's why Paul says here, look at it again, and look again in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Look in verse 3 again. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone. It belongs to her husband. The husband's body does not belong to him alone. It belongs to his wife. Verse 5, do not deprive each other except by mutual consent. That is, no more. I don't feel good. I mean, if you're generally sick, that's one thing. But if you have a headache 365 nights out of the year, no. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent. Both husband and wife consent to it, and for a time that they may devote themselves to prayer, that is to seek the Lord. And then come together again. Come together how? In the sexual union. How? So that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. The best antidote I know to adultery is to have a marriage where there's red hot monogamy. Like I said, I'm going to talk about that next week. Number seven, I've got to hurry. Time's out. Number seven, by delighting, you show respect to your husband by delighting at his efforts at romance. You say, well, my husband doesn't give efforts at romance. Husbands by design are not wired to do romance really well. But you might think of romance as a candlelight dinner. And to him, romance might be a hike in the park. Or going with him to an athletic event. You say, that's not romance. It is to him. He wants you there with him. You know how hard it is for a man to be romantic? We step way out of our comfort zone. And we go to the women's section at Dillard's. You feel like, you know, there's security cameras watching everything you did, you know, and like they're broadcasting on CNN or something. He brings you something that he bought for your birthday or Valentine's Day or some. Delight in it. Delight in it. You've been getting a lot of gift certificates lately? Maybe that's because you kept taking back what he brought. And you've crushed his spirit. And he's given up. It's not easy for a man to make an effort at romance. When he does, be excited, delight in it, and thank him and praise him. Now, we need to go back to Ephesians chapter 5 before we're done. Ephesians chapter 5. I said this last week in the message to husbands. I want you to see it this week in the message to wives. Here it is. The kind of relationship that God communicates in his word for his people is not natural. It's supernatural. You wives, you can't live this way in your strength. You don't have the savvy. You just don't. But God, the Holy Spirit, who lives in you, if you are a believer, he will give you the grace to submit. He'll give you the grace to follow. He'll give you the grace to desire. He'll give you the grace to affirm. He'll give you the grace to do everything that God commands us in his word to do. It is not by accident that this command to be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5:18, you see it there, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, instead be filled with the Spirit. It is not by accident that the command to be filled with the Spirit is right here in the context of God's design for husbands and God's design for wives. So what you and I cannot do, he, the Holy Spirit, who lives within us, will give us the supernatural strength and ability to do as we walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important that every child of God be a Spirit-filled follower of Jesus. And when we walk in the Spirit, then husbands, they can love their wives unconditionally, and wives can respect their husbands unconditionally, because the Holy Spirit of God gives us the grace to so order our marriage. Would you pray with me? God, our Father, we ask now that by your Spirit that you would indelibly write on our minds and on our souls the principles of your word that relate to marriage. I pray for husbands here that they would practice what was proclaimed from this pulpit last Lord's Day. And I pray for wives that by the power of the Spirit they would put into practice in their marriages what was proclaimed from this pulpit today. Oh, Lord, we are weak in ourselves. The adversary attacks us. We just want to withdraw and give up. But God, may it never be true of any Lakeview marriage. But I pray for every husband and wife in this room, God, in every marriage. I pray the blessing of your grace and peace, fresh determination, God, for these men and women to be the husbands and wives you've designed them to be. Now, we pray as we come to commitment time that those who need to respond will obey. In Jesus' name, amen.